Obama and Wall Street. Where did our love go?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern
American
California.
Public Media in Los Angeles. Good morning. I'm Bill Radke. President Obama will be in Manhattan tonight raising money for Democrats at some swanky uptown addresses. And yet, chances are good that Wall Street types will be staying downtown. Marketplace's Janet Babin is here live to talk about this. Good morning, Janet.
Good morning, Bill.
So tell us about tonight's big money fundraisers.
Well, one's going to be at the home of Vogue editor Anna Wintour, and the other's going to be at the Four Seasons Hotel. Both events are sold out, about 50 people attending each one, and that's at a cost of $30,400 a ticket. That is the maximum that an individual can give per election cycle. But the Wall Street Journal reports there is a good chance that there will be a lack of financial executives attending these events, even though Wall Street contributed a record $15 million to President Obama's campaign.
So what happened here? Janet, where is the love?
Well, you know, a lot of Wall Streeters feel that they've just become punching bags for the administration, and they're just not donating anymore. The financial reform legislation signed by the president last week was certainly a strain, but this disconnect started soon after the president took office. I mean, one blog described it as a frenemies situation.
Frenemies. And how do we know that Wall Street is giving less?
Well, the Journal cites statistics from the Center for Responsive Politics that Wall Street giving to the Democratic National Committee is down in 2010. Only one financial firm is even in the top 10, and it's one you probably haven't heard of before, Capital Group Companies. So normally we'd think of hearing about a Goldman Sachs or a Morgan Stanley in the top 10, not this year.
Okay, Marketplace's Janet Babin. Very interesting. Thanks, Janet.
Thank you very much, Bill.
Let's do the numbers. Shares rose in Asia today. Japan's Nikkei index shot up almost 3%. European stocks are mixed. This morning, Comcast said profits fell 8% in the last 3 months. Partly that's because of the cost of taking over NBC Universal. But advertising demand, that actually improved. Yesterday, the Dow Industrials added 12 points and closed at 10,537. Marketplace's Wall Street reporter, Jeremy Hobson, is spending a couple of weeks outside of Manhattan. He's taking the economy's temperature in Tennessee, and he joins us now from the city of Kingsport in the northeast corner of that state. Good morning, Jeremy.
Hi, Bill.
What are you finding in Kingsport?
Well, Kingsport is a small mountain town. There are about 45,000 people here. It's almost entirely white. And many of the people here work for the big chemical company Eastman, so they really feel it when the consumers around the country start to cut back, because the chemicals here go into everything from soda bottles to car paint. And even the people who don't work for Eastman feel it. I spoke with a hairdresser named Kimberly Moneyhun. She says people here are going longer between haircuts, and that is making things harder for her.
As a matter of fact, I'm looking for a second job now to cover for nights. Just I'm single, so I've got to take care of myself, so it's going to take something else.
And Jeremy, in your conversations with the people in Kingsport, how confident are they that their economy is going to come back?
Well, it really depends on who you ask, Bill. I spoke with a retiree who said things are terrible. I spoke with a small business owner who said things have been tough, but they're starting to get better. Here's an Eastman employee named Wayne Chastain.
When consumers stop buying, we definitely do feel it, and lines slow down. We were at fairly low capacity utilization for quite some time, but things have certainly picked up since then. So it looks, at least within the chemical industry, within our particular portion of the chemical industry, that things are recovering, and that's good news for us.
And I asked Wayne Chastain who he blames for the recession. He said he doesn't blame Wall Street. He said they were just doing what they could to maximize their profits given the regulatory structure that's in place. And he says he doesn't really blame Washington either. He and many of the people I spoke with don't have a lot of blame for this recession. They say recessions happen. You just have to get through them when they come.
Marketplace's Jeremy Hobson is driving through Tennessee, and he's in Kingsport in the northeast corner of that state. Jeremy, thank you.
You're welcome, Bill.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Ally Bank, committed to customer service with the option to reach a human being at any time at 877-247-ALLY by pressing 0.
There is a maxim in the business world that a proper handshake can help seal the deal. But a recent survey suggests two-thirds of us lack confidence when it comes to shaking hands. The BBC's Rebecca Singer reports from London on new research into the perfect handshake.
A mathematical formula identifies 12 things that determine the quality of a handshake. Things like damp hands, the strength of your shake, and whether you use eye contact. General Motors wanted to research the handshake to teach Chevrolet dealers in the UK how to do it right. Jeff Beattie is a professor at the University of Manchester. He says the art of the handshake can actually be a science.
Good handshake at the start of, for example, employment interview affects directly the outcome of the interview. They make a judgment about how trustworthy they are, the kind of personality they've got, how nervous they are. So we make a whole series of judgments on the basis of it.
So in order to get it right, follow these three top tips. Use a complete and full grip. Shake three times. And most importantly,
smile with your eyes and let that smile fade slowly. Show that you mean it.
According to Beattie, more than half of us have been on the receiving end of a bad handshake in the past month. In London, I'm the BBC's Rebecca Singer for Marketplace.
You can see the professor's actual handshake formula, complete with square roots. And my fellow Marketplace host Steve Chiatakis and I demonstrate the proper handshake techniques at our website, marketplace.org. And finally, 10 years ago, a Fresno, California man went to a garage sale and bought a few dozen antique glass plates for $45. They were photographic negatives taken at Yosemite and other California spots. Yesterday, a Beverly Hills appraiser announced the guy who took those photos was America's famousest landscape artist, Ansel Adams, and they could be worth $200 million. Now, Adams' grandson says he thinks they're fakes, and besides, he says the value is in how Adams developed his negatives. So prints made by someone else are worthless. So, priceless or worthless? Well, you will get to decide because the man has begun selling dark room prints of the photos for $7,500 a snap. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. In Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.